Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Miracle Internet Church. I'm Pastor Sabrina, and Brother Bill is here, Brother Marshall is here, all of you are here, and the Lord is in our midst. Amen. We want to thank the Lord for every opportunity that we have to come up, you know. you never can tell how life is going to work out sometimes. Sometimes you just have to trust the Lord. It's just no predicting it. But God is wonderful, and he's great. And he's protecting us, and he's watching over us. And he's bringing truth and correction into our lives. He's developing us into the saints that he always desired for us to become. So, we just want to thank the Lord for what he's doing. Everyone has their own warfare, true enough. But all of us are attempting, at least I hope so, to please the Lord regardless to what our present circumstances are. And I pray that every person is continuing to seek the Lord instead of growing cold on the Lord. You know, the Lord's been bringing up certain things that some people think are little things. They're insignificant. They're not important. I don't need to focus my attention on it. Let me tell you about those little things. There's a scripture that says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Well, it's the little things that we allow to creep into our lives that take us to the place of becoming backslidden. It's the little thing that we let slide that we shouldn't. It's the little things that we just let pile up because we're too preoccupied with something else that eats away at our faith. And so I'm trying to bring your attention to those little things, because those little things really do matter. It matters whether or not you come up when we're live on the air. It actually does matter. We know that there are people who are actually at work, and they cannot sit there with a Bible and take notes, but they can listen. You see, they're doing what they can do. And there are others who have the opportunity to sit at home comfortably and listen with their Bible out, taking notes, and they don't. You think that's a little thing, but that's not how God sees it, nor is it how I see it. You see all these little things that we keep bringing up. You know those 10 steps to keeping your deliverance, those little things. They make a huge difference in the life of a Christian. They make a huge difference in the life of a believer. It might be a little thing to you, but it's going to have a major impact on your walk with the Lord. It's going to have a major impact on you receiving answers to prayer. You see, some people think, oh, that's just a little thing. I can do this and I can do that. The instruction says, walk 3 paces to the left. And so you decide to only do 2, and you think it's a little thing. No, it means you failed. There is a difference. Amen? So it's up to you. If you're going to keep your deliverance, or you're just going to get 7 times worse than before. Number 8 says, stay out of the flesh and walk in the spirit. Stay out of the flesh. You know, that's very important, because when you allow yourself to wallow around in the flesh, you open the door for the devil. It's like you're in a garage and you took the entire roof off. You took the whole roof off. And then you expect the devil not to show up? Seriously? Really? Let's be serious, all right? The whole roof off, you take the rafters down too, what do you expect to happen? He's going to show up and act just like the devil. He's going to steal, kill, destroy, deceive, everything he can get away with. So I said all of that to say this. Let's take our walk with the Lord seriously. Let's take our walk seriously. When Pastor says you need to get in the archive, ask the Holy Spirit to take you into the archive and take you to the sermon he wants you to hear. Then you ought to do that. There are plenty of sermons all over this website. There's a lot to be occupied with. There's a lot to learn. There's a lot to learn. However, you have to want to learn it. We can teach you, but you've got to want to learn. You've got to want to learn. When we tell you, you're going to have to separate for some folks because they're not walking in agreement with the Lord in your life, and you're going to have to put some distance between you and those persons, that's exactly what that means. Amen? That's exactly what it means. So we'll keep talking about it, but you're the one that's going to have to make the change. God has a good plan for your life. It may seem rocky right now, but he's smoothing out the road. But it's up to you how much victory you walk in. It's up to you. It's not up to somebody else. It's actually up to you how much victory you walk in. And it's directly related to how much obedience you have in your life. Amen? So think about it. Pray about it. See what God has to say. Amen? Amen, and a special welcome to all of our first-time listeners. We are a Christian Internet church, and we meet on the Internet every Wednesday evening and every Friday evening at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States of America, and whatever time that happens to be wherever you are. We want to thank the Lord for the portability, so to speak, of this ministry around the globe. People all around the globe are listening of this ministry. So we want to thank the Lord for them. We want to ask the Lord to bring them closer so that they can receive everything he wants them to receive. God's building an army still. He hasn't quit. Amen? And neither should you. We also want to thank the Lord for each one of you for your continued love, prayers, support, even financial support of this ministry. We could not continue to carry forth if you did not support and attend and participate and love and pray. Amen? So we want to thank the Lord for every single thing he does, every single thing. There's nothing that he does that's too small or insignificant for our thanksgiving and our praise for him and our appreciation to him. Amen? Because after all, it's his gospel. It's his gospel. And we have the opportunity and the privilege of partaking of it and sharing it with others. Amen? Amen. So let's think about those things that we've talked about. Amen. Let's praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you. You're a good God. All throughout the scriptures, you lay it out the way it really is. You speak the truth to us in love. And you help us to see the obvious, that it's up to us how far we go in God. And if we're really determined to obey you, there's really nothing the devil can do to stop us. He might attempt to hinder or block us, but he can't stop us. So, Father, we want to thank you for helping us to see things your way, for helping us to submit ourselves to you. We want to thank you for the grace for this fast that we're still participating in. We want to thank you, Lord, for the justice that we will see in our lives as a result. We want to thank you, Lord, that there's some healings on the line. There's some deliverances on the line. There's some breakthroughs on the line. We want to encourage everyone to continue until the end and to be steadfast in our commitment to you. We want to thank you, Lord, for every grace that you've given us and every gift that you've given us. We want to thank you for every time we wanted to quit and you said, no, I'm not quitting. Why are you? That you were there to encourage us to keep on going when it seemed really impossible and really tough. But Lord, warriors are meant for tough times. Global prayer warriors are meant to be tough. We're supposed to be able to grow through situations. We're supposed to be able to be strong and not break. We're supposed to be able to walk through the difficult, the hard, that seems like it won't change and it won't move. We're supposed to go through that, Lord. We're supposed to be soldiers of the Lord, the army of God. There's a lot of training that's required in being a warrior. Pity parties are not a part of our lives because you can't be a warrior and have pity parties. Truth is important to us. It's one of our weapons. There are things, Lord, that have to leave our lives because warriors can't have those things. So, Father, help us as we grow to realize what we need to let go of and the one whom we need to embrace. We want to thank you for it, Father. The Bible says that we are sanctified. That means we are set apart for a sacred, holy use of God. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. We were bought with a price. And that wasn't corruptible stuff. That wasn't natural stuff. It was the blood of Jesus. We're his. He's our Lord. We can't call our own shots anymore. We can't do it our own way. The Bible says for us to set our affections on things above, not on the things on the earth. And that whatever we do, whether it's by word or actually in deed, that we're to do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says we're supposed to do everything. It doesn't mean that we leave things out. No, whatsoever we do, we're supposed to do it all to the glory of God. And we're supposed to abstain from all appearance of evil. We want to thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us to walk even as Jesus walked. We want to thank you, Lord, for the attributes, for the character of Jesus Christ showing up in our lives. And because of this, Lord, we've decided to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit and perfect holiness in the fear of the Lord. Because you call us to be holy. You tell us, be ye holy, for I am holy. So, Lord, we've come to partake of your holiness tonight. We've come to partake of your very character and nature. We're saying goodbye to the old man, and we're embracing the new us in Christ Jesus our Lord. We want to thank you, Lord. And from our position, seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, Father, we forgive all such that should be forgiven. all those that should be forgiven, Father, we forgive them. And we request an adjudication from the righteous judge concerning the following, concerning the liberal agenda all over the world. There's an agenda, Lord, that other people came up with that doesn't appear to be in line with the word of God. And its outworking certainly is not to your pleasing. We lift this situation up to you, and we ask for a righteous judgment from you and execution thereof in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Lord. We ask for an adjudication, and maybe several, from the righteous judge concerning the sex industry. And that includes all institutions of learning that offer courses about the prostitution industry. Yes, Lord, in institutions of higher learning, they're now teaching people how to be a hooker. So we ask, Father, for an adjudication from the righteous judge and for the release of his judgment. We continue before you, Lord, concerning the hostages that were taken in Haiti. We thank you for the outworking of your plan and your purpose and your will. We lift up to you also those that were deserted in Afghanistan. We ask for your continued intervention there, and we thank you for it, Father. We lift up to you, Lord, the case from one of the states that has bearing on Roe versus Wade. We want to thank you, Father, for your inworkings there. We want to thank you for your judgments being released. We want to thank you for your interventions there, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, recently several of the states experienced a terrible tornado. Even the roof was taken off of one of the churches. And so we ask you, Lord, to comfort them, to provide for them, to support them, to undergird them, to heal them, to show them hope, to stir up their faith in Jesus' name. We ask you, Lord, that you provide everything that they need according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. And we thank you, Father, that when Jesus spoke to the storm, peace be still, the storm was still. Clean up the debris, Lord, and the damage. We ask you to comfort everyone who lost a loved one, a friend, a coworker, a family member, an associate, a neighbor. Heal their wounded hearts, Lord. Give them hope for the future. And we pray for them. We plead the blood of Jesus over them. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy never fails us. Even in times of sorrow, you are there for us. We lift up those that are within our church that have lost family members, even recently, Lord. It's terrifying to a parent to lose their child in death. So, Father, we ask you to be with that mother and to be with those family members and to touch their hearts and heal them, and to resolve their issues in Jesus' name. We lift that family to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, and with the sword of the Spirit, we cut them free from every soul tie, ley line, silver cord, garland, chain, fetter, net, yoke, snare, and trouble of the devil in Jesus' name. We bind Satan's warfare against that family in Jesus' name, and we send it right back to him. It's his nastiness. You didn't call for that, Lord. Every day they deal so. You didn't call for that, Lord. That was the evil one at work. We remit their sins and the sins of all of their ancestors, even back to Adam and Eve, in Jesus' name. And we ask, Father, for the release of your mercy and grace. We ask for the release of your favor. We ask, Father, for you to absolve the problem. We curse it at the root in Jesus' name. The family iniquity, coming down the family line that leaves vulnerable to these kinds of attacks by the enemy. We ask you to close that door, Lord Jesus, and seal it. We ask you, Lord, to heal their brokenness and their woundedness and use it as a blessing in their lives. We want to thank you for giving us love and compassion for them, Lord. Let them feel the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Let them feel your very presence, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, when trouble comes, you are not far away. You're close. You're right there with us. You're right there in the middle of the mess. You never leave us. So we ask you, Lord, to help them and to help others, Lord, that have lost loved ones and lost someone close to them. And we thank you that they're undergirded, Father, with your everlasting arms, in Jesus' name. We ask you, Lord, to help those that are still struggling with fear, with anxiety, with stress of every kind. We ask you to strengthen them, Lord, and to show them the way out. We ask for breakthroughs for those who need breakthroughs. We ask you, Lord, to help us as we move forward into uncertain times. Yes, we know that certain things are going to happen. You've unfolded that in your word. But we are still learning as we walk into new territory. Help us to not be afraid, Lord. Help us to not be anxious or disturbed about the things that happen around us. They're all confirmations of what you said in the scriptures. They're all confirmations that this world is coming to the end of its history. So we want to thank you, Lord, that you're preparing us for what's to come. You're preparing us for what we will experience. You're teaching us to trust you because we're going to need a lot of trust in the days to come. We thank you for the gospel of peace, Lord, and that our feet are shod with it. We want to thank you, Lord, for every soul that one of us has ministered to, Lord, especially if they came into the kingdom. We want to thank you for that soul. We want to thank you for the shield of faith so that we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, Lord. We want to thank you for the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We want to thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for every piece of the armor, and we want to thank you that you provided it for us. We need it. Because you supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory, and because you are our shepherd, we shall not want. We will have what we need. So we cast all of our cares upon you, Lord, because we know that you care for us. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we bind Satan the strong man and all his evil angels, evil spirits, demonic agents, all of his underlings, timings, maneuvers, tactics, devices, plans, orders, satanic agendas against the righteous. We bind them each in Jesus' name. And we take the territory from Satan in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and we come out of agreement with Satan, with his power, and with his kingdom in Jesus' name. We close and seal all portals, all channels, all open doors of access to the enemy, especially in our lives. We disconnect, Lord, every part of our being from the power of the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. We close and seal those inroads that the enemy has made into our lives. We close them and seal them in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us to do so, Father. We pull down all demonic thrones. We bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind rape and murder to its strong man and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains in darkness, placing them in the custody of the Holy Spirit. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks, and we return the attacks unto the heads of the devils that bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, reporters, listeners, watchers, peeps, whisperers, all familiar devils, electronic and digital demons, technology demons and all their attacks, Leviathan spirits and their attacks, Kundalini spirits, even their psychic abilities and their attacks. We return to the sender in Jesus' name. We bind all water and marine spirits and their attacks, sex devils and their attacks, unclean spirits and their attacks, passive devils and their attacks, all pain-afflicting spirits, sleep deprivation spirits, artificial intelligence and smart dust. We bind you in the name of Jesus. All sorcery devils and their attacks, all seducing and womanizing and drone spirits, the Havana syndrome and the brain changes and injuries, all the remote viewing, all the sonic and audio weapons. We bind the spirits of whoredom and their attacks, all the voices of the stranger and their attacks, the voices of the charmers. We bind in Jesus' name. We bind all mystic rituals and their intent, all 5G and components, all EMF attacks, everything coming off the towers, all targeted radio frequencies, all pulse weapons, and their attacks, all debilitating sonic frequency attacks, we bind in the name of Jesus. We overturn and empty all cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and the magicians. We bind every order of magic and mystic arts. We bind all electromagnetic attacks, smart technology and particle attacks, techno-paganism, and mind control by the occult. We bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. We forbid it to have any power in our lives or in the lives of our loved ones. We bind every order of magic and mystic arts and all Magellan's attacks, and we return every attack to the sender. We bind Buddhist, black magic, Santeria, Kabbalah, Egyptian, Chaldean, Hindu, Indian, Australian, American, Canadian, Celtic practices, Caribbean and Latin American, black magic and white magic. We bind it all in the name of Jesus and return it to the senders. We bind the work of every druid. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide and all free-flying devils, all evil spirits which take animal forms, all shape-shifting spirits, and we bind each demon responsible for the dominion of sin and the culture. We bind impulsivity, inattention, racing mind, and hyperactivity. We bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog and every abomination that has been committed. We bind the Lord of the flies and his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind the Mandela effect and all satanic ritual abuse devils, satanic worship, and witchcraft dedications. We bind all formation of bullflies and demonic insects, spiders in their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits, spirits of infirmity and supplanting, the gods of the people of the land, the gods of the groves, and every spirit that exalts science, logic, human reasoning, demonic knowledge against the knowledge of God and makes man wise in his own eyes. We bind you in the name of Jesus. We bind Mammon and his agents and all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass,
manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, defile, corrupt, undermine, despise, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, and reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We bind the bondage of generations of fools and the spirit of the fool in Jesus' name. We bind the carnal mind. We bind the anger of the fool and the fool's foolishness in Jesus' name. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils attending the New World Order, New Age movement, the spirits and works of the oppressors, the spirit in the children of disobedience, horoscopes, numerology, false religions, make-believe and fantasy, martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Ahab and Jezebelic spirits and practices, lewdness, perversions, the outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, spirits of destruction, chaos and mayhem, oppression, depression, anarchy, premonition, clairvoyance, ESP, telepathy, psychokinesis, bio-PK, out-of-body experiences, reincarnation, haunting, poltergeist, astral travel, psychic healing, demonic meditation, spirit guides, and defilement by wizards, we bind in Jesus' name. We bind Urukusa, the king of pride, and his entire kingdom, and we chain it with eternal chains unto darkness in Jesus' name. We bind each and all demonic blood, sexual, financial, animal, fecal, and soulish sacrifices against us in Jesus' name, and we return it and its intent to the sender in Jesus' name. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, rioting, abuse, all trolls, fear, combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, and temptation to sin. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind Belial, Beelzebub, Baal, Basilek, Molech, Python, Baphomet and his 72, Neptune, Zeus, Atlas, and Mammon. And we chain you with eternal chains under darkness. We undo the works of all demonic weapons, fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls, hot and cold spots, tumors, triggers, codes, and we return their afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We break the powers of every Masonic ritual, ceremony, the elements, and the work of the demole in Jesus' name. And any Masonic prayers that have been prayed over our lives, we break the power of those curses in Jesus' name. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind the pride and foolishness of our own opinions, and we return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his own head according to the scriptures. We bind all traditions and customs rooted in sin. We denounce and renounce them all and loose ourselves from them. We bind the gang stalkers and see their fear, harassments, witchcraft, and mind control back on their own heads in Jesus' name. We bind the spirit of slumber. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask you for eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to believe, and minds to receive what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. Lord, we've come to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke and chain, and to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Lord, we've come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander-in-chief, in whom we serve and obey. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for kings and for all who are in authority and all true Christians everywhere. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. Father, we trust in you with all of our heart, and we lean not to our own understanding. In all of our ways, we acknowledge you, and you direct our paths. We choose not to be wise in our own eyes, rather to fear you and to depart from evil. We thank you, and we give you praise for this blessing that you've bestowed upon us. And we pull out all fiery darts, pins, needles, spears, all voodoo and witchcraft sent to us in the name of Jesus Christ. It goes back from whence it came. We break the power sent to us through astral projection and demons of the night. We break bad dreams and nightmares and sex dreams. We shut the door on anything or anyone trying to get into our dreams. We thank you, Father, for the giant warrior angels that protect us and our property as we sleep. And we thank you for the fiery wall of protection around us. We give you praise, glory, and honor. We cut ourselves free from every form, order, and type of agreement with the demonic realm. We cut ourselves free from ungodly soul ties and vows and pledges and pacts and attachments and covenants and consents and all garlands in Jesus' name. We break down and destroy walls of protection around shamans, Satanists, wizards, warlocks, witches, divinators. We break the power of every vex, every hex, and all curses, spells of every order, rank, and type, fetishes, psychic prayers, and psychic thoughts, voodoo, sorcery, magic, mind control, all death spirits, all pain, sickness, and torment, all psychic warfare, incense, candle burnings, incantations, tribal rituals and sins, root works, crystals, and everything being used by the occultists in the name of Jesus Christ. We want to thank you, Lord, for your protection, especially as it's listed in Psalm 91. We give you praise, Lord, and we want to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let the church say amen. We want to thank the Lord that Mother Irene is doing better. Amen. She's in a facility that's monitoring her progression, and she's doing much better. And we want to thank the Lord for strengthening her. We want to thank the Lord for delivering her and healing her. And we want to thank the Lord for his care for her and for her daughter. Amen. Amen. You see, saints, sometimes we run into turbulence, but God is there with us even when we run into turbulence. Amen? Amen. So tonight, our featured psalm is Psalm 94. Psalm 94. Psalm 94. Amen. Psalm 94. Amen. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planteth the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chasteneth the heathen, shall he not correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know? Shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord,
and teachest him out of thy law, that thou may give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness. Yes. And all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous, and they condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense. My God is the rock of my refuge, and he shall bring upon them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yes, the Lord our God shall cut them off.
Amen.
Amen. And our verse for meditation for tonight comes from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1. Our ebook that you can find on our website under books and ebooks is Transference of Spirits. The Lord's still trying to get us to read this thing. Amen. Our guest call-in number is area code 319-527-6235 and press 1. That's 319-527-6235 and press 1. So tonight the Lord wants to talk about a time to share. A time to share. To share in the Christian sense means to yield some of that which one is entitled to for the purpose of blessing, contributing, participating, giving, enhancing, or supporting some effort, cause, yes. Sharing means that you give of something that is yours or of yourself. Yes, that's what sharing is about. You know, when you were a little child, they tried to teach you not to be selfish, but rather to be generous and to share. Well, guess what? God wants it that way too. He doesn't want you to be self-centered and hoarding everything to yourself. He wants you to be generous and to share because he's generous. Amen? In so doing, bonds of unity are strengthened. In so doing, bonds of unity are strengthened. We learn how to adapt to concede to respect, to trust, and to enjoy one another. That's important in the body of Christ. You see, we are called to love one another and to regard one another with the love of God. And in order for that to happen, we must learn to share. That's right. We must learn to share. We must learn how to appreciate the gifts and the abilities that God has bestowed in each of us. That's right. Thereby, many may be blessed through a single resource. Many may be blessed through a single resource. Praise God. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3,
And verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You say, well, what does that have to do with sharing? Well, in this passage, we can see that our Heavenly Father so loved the world that he shared Jesus with us by sending him to earth to give his life for our sins. That was a lot of sharing. Because you see, in the process, people mistreated and abused Jesus. Every day wasn't absolutely spectacular. People persecuted him. People lied on him. People betrayed him. The Father knew all of that would happen, but he gave him nonetheless. He shared him nonetheless. So as a result of our Father's sharing, all have been blessed. His sharing, all would be damned. That's right. We'd all be going to hell if our Heavenly Father hadn't shared. There would be nothing else that we could do. That's how important sharing really is. That's how important sharing really is. Jesus Christ has been shared with us so that we may partake of and participate in God's divine nature, that is, God's own character. Now, saints, that's an extremely important blessing. We have been allowed the opportunity to actually partake of God's very character. He's sharing his own character, his own nature with us. You remember that we're but dust with the breath of life blown into us. What is man that God is mindful of him? Well, God chose to make man in his own image and in his own likeness. And as a result, God made some other decisions toward man. He decided that he would share with us, whose lives are but a vapor, who are really just dust with the breath of life blown into us. He decided to share his own nature, his own characteristics with us. We're given an opportunity to actually be a live partaker and to participate in who God really is. But some of us can't see that. Amen? He's given us this opportunity, seeing as we have now, through coming to Jesus Christ, escaped from the corruption and the decay that is in the world through wicked and unrighteous desires. We've escaped that. Let's not go back to it. Amen? Let's remain in Christ. Sharing is essential for the spread of the gospel. Sharing is essential for the spread of the gospel. There are people all over the world, in our communities, everywhere, who need to hear the gospel. They need our witness, and they need us to share the truth about Jesus Christ with them. They've come up with all these ideas
from the world system. They've come up with all these ideas on their own, and they're very flawed. They're very wrong. They don't have the proper perspective. They can't see God clearly. And the enemy sees to it that that happens. But somebody has got to stand there as the witness for Jesus and say, no, that's not the truth about God. The truth about God is this. God is still looking for people who will do that. Amen? We must witness and share the truth about Jesus to others who are willing to receive him. They need to know about the Lord. Think of how you were before you came to the Lord. You needed someone to share the truth of the gospel with you. There was no other way for you to grow unless someone who had the truth shared with you. And praise the Lord, someone did at some point. But God is looking for people who are willing to share, who are willing to share the truth and are willing to share the love of God with others. Amen? So since sharing is so important to the body of Christ and to those who will become participants in the body of Christ, let's talk about some of the opposition to sharing which might be experienced or even encountered. One particular hindrance to sharing is jealousy. Jealousy. It's a type of envy. A type of envy of someone or their success, their advantages, their achievements, and it comes with resentment. That's right. It comes with resentment. And it shows itself in bitterness or indignation from a sense of being offended. Jealousy is also the fruit of suspicion or evil surmisings. That's what you'll find it called in the Bible, evil surmisings, which are a work of the flesh, suspicious of unfaithfulness in a relationship, whether it be a romantic relationship, a family relationship, a partnership, a work relationship. Someone has thoughts of unfaithfulness in the behavior of someone else. And it provokes these feelings that we call jealousy and envy. Now, this is a serious hindrance to sharing. Why? Because if you are envious of someone else's excellence or their success or their achievements and you're resenting it, you're not going to be sharing what God gave you to share. You're too busy with your eyes fixed on something else and someone else other than the Lord. You're no longer seeking to please the Lord. You're bitter and you're offended because someone else seems to be doing well. Now, that's just downright evil, saint. It's not God at all. It's not. So you're not liable to share what you have to share if you allow this work of the flesh in your life. Envy. It's a feeling. Yes, it's a feeling. It's one of those feelings that come along. You know, we talked about feelings before, and we agreed that feelings are not faith. They're just feeling. And if you make too much of them, the enemy will come along and take advantage of them. Because you see, love thinketh no evil. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the truth. That's what the Bible says. Envy is this feeling of discontent. You're ill at ease. You're not happy at all. And it comes with ill will because of another person's excellence, their advantages, and their blessing. You don't think they ought to have it. Not only do you desire it yourself as just in jealousy, but you don't want them to have it. That's envy. You don't want them to have what they have, whatever that may be. That's pretty bad. It's a resentful dislike of another who has something that a person desires. Now, if you're envying somebody, as we said in jealousy, you're not thinking about sharing a thing properly that the Lord has blessed you with. You're too busy trying to mimic what they're doing. See, your eyes are not on the Lord. They're on someone else, another human. You either trying to mimic something that you want that they seemingly have, and you think you don't have it or can't get it. Or you opening your mouth against them and whatever they have. And most often, it's the opening of the mouth. You see, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So we're going to go to Acts chapter 37, and we're going to look at the mouth. We're going to look at this mouth and what it does when jealousy is present. We're going to Genesis 37. And we're going to verse 4. We're going to start at verse 3 and then go to verse 4. Genesis chapter 37, beginning with verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Now, I want to tell you something. When you allow jealousy and envy in your heart, it's hard for you to spend time around the person you're hating. Because if you're a Christian, most often you're trying to fake love. You're being a pretending to love somebody that secretly you resent. That's not good. It never has been good. In fact, that was the case with Cain and Abel. Abel was minding his own business, doing what he was supposed to do as unto the Lord. Cain did what Cain wanted to do, not what God required. And so God was displeased with his offering. But what did he do? Did he go to God and talk to God about why his offering wasn't received? No. He rose up against his brother and he murdered him. He allowed that jealousy and envy and resentment and bitterness and hatred to grow in him. God said to him what's wrong with your face, kid? What's wrong with you? If you do well, won't you get the right response? If you choose to do well,
won't you get the right response? Well, he didn't like it. He kept a bad attitude. He kept a bad attitude. Amen. That's the truth. The Lord says, why art thou wroth? What are you mad about? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. So if you do well, you'll be accepted. But if you don't, sin's sitting right there waiting for you. So now, what are we going to do when we have the opportunity to do better than we have done in the past? You know, in our carnal, worldly, other life, it was okay to be jealous and envious of people and to talk about them and to murder their reputations with our mouths. It was all right. It was acceptable. Somebody would listen to us and go along with us. Well, now that we've become born again, it's not so acceptable. Now, is it? But does that stop us? Most often not, unfortunately. And God is saying he wants an end to it. He wants an end to this. Everybody knows what little jealousy, petty or not, that's in their heart. Every single person knows. And if you don't, ask the Lord to judge your heart, and he'll point it out to you. You see, God did not make cookie-cutter people. He made people individually. He brings forth certain talents and gifts out of each one. And as God spoke to Cain, so it is with us. If you do well, won't you be accepted? But if you don't, sin lies at the door. You see, it wasn't good that Cain kept that attitude. You see, you know when you have that attitude and you know you're wrong. You really don't need someone to tell you that you're wrong because you already know it. The thing about it is you want to make an excuse for having those attitudes. And you want to pet those attitudes, you know, like they're your friends instead of them acknowledging that they're the enemies that they really are. You want to act like it's okay to walk around feeling that way. It's just the feeling. No, it's the devil. And you know it. But you will sit there and harbor those attitudes and not get rid of them immediately. You won't treat them as if they're hot coals that are burning you and get rid of them. No, you won't do that. You're going to sit there and pet them like they're your best friend. Well, God's not pleased with that, I'm here to tell you. He's not pleased with that at all. Amen? He's not pleased with that at all. In Acts chapter 13, beginning with verse 44, you have another example where jealousy and envy got in the way of the gospel. Acts 13, verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Wow. But when the Jews saw the multitude, when they saw the crowds flocking to Jesus and not to them, they were filled with envy. It doesn't say they had a little. It says they were filled to the brim with envy. And what did they do? They opened their mouths and they spoke. With a heart full of envy, they opened their mouths and they spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul.
Paul was spreading the gospel. So envy smells, and it speaks against the gospel of the Lord Jesus, contradicting, they were contradicting him and blaspheming the word of God. That's what jealousy and envy do. That's how they act. These attitudes come with murmuring, complaining, contradiction, and blaspheming. These attitudes of the carnal heart, these demons who work with the flesh or the self nature, find their origins in selfishness, pride, and an exaggerated opinion of oneself and one's merit. I'll say that again. These attitudes of the carnal heart, these demons who work with the flesh or the self nature, find their origins in selfishness, pride, and an exaggerated opinion of oneself and one's merit. Envy, jealousy, complaining, murmuring, contradicting and blaspheming the gospel of the Lord Jesus are sin. They're not just attitudes, they are sin. There is vengeance incorporated as well. You know, vengeance belongs to God. It doesn't belong to any human. It belongs to God and to God alone. Vengeance comes with this. Because you'll find out that as Paul continued to spread the gospel, the Jews wanted him put to death. They wanted him killed. It's a very dangerous thing to allow envy and jealousy to live in your heart and in your life. You see, whether the vengeance displays itself as spite or cruelty, either way, it is evil. It is wickedness in your life, and if you have these spirits there, you're already backslidden. Amen. You're already backslidden. Insecurity is another one. Insecurity is another obstacle. Sharing that God calls for the body of Christ to participate in. Insecurity is a continual feeling of fearfulness or anxiousness regarding present or future circumstances. Some are fiercely protective of their perceived right. That's right. This doesn't just work in the world. This works in the church world as well. Well, saints, with this cast of devils, there is a lot of repentance from dead works and turning from wicked ways that has to happen. Why? Because the gospel must go forth. The gospel must go forth. Yes, this is the path to revival through the forsaking of sin. This is the path to revival through the forsaking of sin. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people, now God isn't talking to the world right here. He's talking to the believers. He's talking to the saints. If my people, which are called by my name, well, that pretty much delegates, it determines who that is. That would be us. Not your neighbor down the street that's never known the Lord. No, that would be us. Shall humble themselves. Well, that means all your pride, all your vanity, all that ego, all of that, well, I has got to go. You can't hold on to it. You can't pull it on like a leather coat and promenade up and down in it. No, it's got to go. You have to humble yourself. That means you can't have your way all the time. You can't have your say all the time. You can't do it the way you think it ought to be done all the time. You can't call the shots all the time. It means you have to humble yourself. All right? So you're humbling yourself. Well, guess what? You got to pray. God says we must pray and seek his face. Let me explain to you, seeking his face is not the same thing as trying to get him to do something for you. Seeking his face is seeking him for who he is, not for what he has and what he can do for you. If you still believe that your family, your little immediate family, is the most important thing, then guess what? You have an idol in your heart, and you have a block from seeking the face of God. That's right. We've been reading scriptures, even the last time we were together. That's been telling us, Jesus is saying, if you put mother and father ahead of me, you're not worthy of me. If you put son and daughter ahead of me, you're not worthy of me. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of me. Well, if you have son or daughter, mother or father ahead of Jesus, you have an idol in your heart. And you have a hindrance from seeking the face of God. And so he says, now you have to turn from your wicked ways. That's right. That means that's what repentance really is. Repentance isn't this gloss over, oh, I'm so sorry, when you know you're getting ready to do it again. That's not repentance. You know the alligator tears. And, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, I hate to tell you, but just about everybody can see through that. Especially when you keep doing it over and over and over and over again. No one's convinced. No one should be either. You actually have to give up once and for all the wicked thing that you're doing. You see, God calls it a wicked way, not a righteous way. It's wrong. It's sin. Jesus had to die for it. You have to turn away from it once and for all and never come back to it again. Then God says, then he'll hear from heaven. Oh, you're saying something. And he'll forgive your sin, and he'll heal your land. Amen? That's what he said. Christians everywhere must learn to obtain our security from the Lord Jesus himself and his holy word. You can't have your security in your job. You can't have your security in your portfolio. You can't have your security in your possession. You can't have your security in your public image. Put your security in anything but the Lord and his holy word. You can't build a foundation for a relationship with God any other way. There was a song that says, "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." Well, that's the truth. It also began by saying, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness." If you're trying to maintain your life on some other foundation, it's not going to work. Immaturity can hinder people from seeing themselves as they really are. But the scriptures do not lie. Immaturity, yes. There are people in their 70s that are immature. Our God is a revealer of secrets, and all things are naked and opened before his eyes. So you see, you can't pretend that you don't have it when you do. It's going to show up in your life. In fact, at the moment, the Holy Spirit's reminding me of some people that I know. And years ago, you could tell that this spirit was having an impact in their life. They kept trying to twist their lives and to change their lives to look like some other people's lives that we all knew. And they just kept at it and kept at it. Till finally I had to tell them, no, that's not the Lord's will for your life. The Lord's will for your life is to do what you've been doing. That's his will. That's where you'll find the Lord's blessing, doing what he's having you to do. But no, 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 they wanted to have it like somebody else has it. Well, saints, keeping up with the Joneses is not a part of the character and nature of Jesus Christ. And it should not be part of your character and nature either. You know, I don't know who it is that decided that God can only do things one way. And when you meet whoever it is that you meet and they have it this way, oh, I have to do it like this. No, you have to do what God tells you to do. And you have to be content with what God has you doing. You can't be running all over the place wishing you had somebody else's gifting. I watched people do that with Dr. Pat Holliday so many times that it was sickening. They could no more be her than two left shoes. Oh, but they were gonna do it. Oh, they were, and made fools of themselves. God didn't call you to be somebody else. He called you to be you. And you need to try to specialize in being the best you for Jesus that you can be. He didn't call you to walk in somebody else's shoes. He called them to walk in their shoes. He called you to walk in your own. And so this situation, these attitudes, this fleshly behavior interferes with the sharing that the body of Christ should receive and gain benefits from, and those that would be become members of the body of Christ. And so God's coming for it, you know. You see, as Christians, we are to be motivated by the love of God. Furthermore, if you're so busy watching somebody else, you have too much of your nose in other people's business. Way too much. The Bible says you're not supposed to be a busybody in other men's matter. Your eyes are not focused on the word. They're not focused on the Lord. In the back of your mind, you have this bitter envying and strife going on because somebody else has something you want that you don't have. That's sin. And look at them. They don't even know how to do this or how to do that or how to do the other. So, that sin thing is just sin. In God's love, the body of Christ is helped by each member. There is contribution that each member of the body of Christ ought to make and offer. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. See, you have to grow up into him. Before you can speak the truth in love, you got to start growing up into him in all things, not just the ones you want, all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. What does that mean? That's like in construction, in a building. You bring the parts together and they fit perfectly. The joints go in the right place. Fitly joined together. Join. Not separate, a piece over here, a piece over there. No, brought together in a fitting manner together and joined, connected together by that which every joint supplieth. Every joint is supplying something that the body needs to function. According to the effectual working. See, God wants it effective, not just trying to have a motion and nothing's happening. No, it's supposed to be effective. The effectual working in the measure of every part. Every part's supposed to work properly. And it's all supposed to work together, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The body of Christ, when it comes together, it's supposed to build itself up together in love, not in hatreds, not in bitternesses, not in offenses, not in jealousies, envies, complainings, murmurings, and so forth. No, in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, from now on, walk not as other Gentiles walk. Don't walk like people that don't know the Lord in the vanity of their own mind. Well, you know, I graduated from here, and I think this, and I think that. And, well, I think, and the way I see it, and where I used to go to church, cut it. Having the understanding darkened. Why? Because you're being alienated from the life of God through ignorance. The Lord says his people perish for a lack of knowledge. Through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So if you're consumed with jealousy and envy, you're alienating yourself from the life of God. Your understanding's darkened. You still have ignorance about God, his plan, and his purpose, and you have blindness in your heart. That's dangerous. That's backslidden. Verse 20, same chapter, Ephesians 4, verse, but ye have not so learned Christ. You didn't learn this in Jesus. You picked this up someplace else. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle of the old man. That old life is supposed to be passing away continually, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You need to put that corruption out of your life. It doesn't need to be in your vessel anywhere, fighting against the God in you. And be renewed, made new in the spirit of your mind. That stuff and all that junk and all that you learned over the years, you need to throw it out. Why? Because it's keeping you from partaking of God's own character. It's keeping you from being more like Jesus. It's getting in the way. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So you see, saints, we can't have all of this old stuff clinging to us and hanging on to us. It's getting in the way of what God wants to do. We are called, saints, to lovingly follow the Spirit of truth at all times. We are to become progressively more like Jesus in every way. Under the Lord's plan, the whole body of Christ is fitted together perfectly, and each part with its gifts helps the other parts so that the whole body is healthy and whole and growing in love. So Jesus expects each of us to rid ourselves of our old self-centered evil nature. You know, the one with the pity parties and the bad attitude for months at a time and the too much to say, answering again, being hostile and unfriendly. You know, you're familiar, you know, to that disposition which is centered on self. You know, that hypocrite, that liar, that sinful sham of a person full of ungodly desires. We're to do away with that one. We're to do away with that one. Every place that we find it, it's got to go. That's right. All of our attitudes, say all of my attitudes and thoughts, must be constantly changing to come into agreement with the nature of God. Let's try that again. All of my attitudes and thoughts must be constantly changing to come into agreement with the nature of God. Mm-hmm. We are to become, saints, new and different persons. Our assurance in Christ comes from the knowledge of walking in God's will. We know that we're actually walking in his will and not being rebellious nor contrary. And we are giving our very best to please him. When we are tempted to feel insecure, God has given us Psalm 61, verse 2. Psalm 61, verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You see, when we have temptations, when feelings come that we know we can't justify in the Word of God, we can cry out to the Lord and he will help us. We don't have to sit around wallowing in those emotions. That's wrong. That's sin. We're not supposed to give any place to the devil. None. So that means as soon as possible, we must rid ourselves of those thoughts, those feelings, and we must not act on them to carry them out. You've been given tactics of warfare to deal with what you're thinking and feeling, but you got to do the warfare. You can't just sit there and just do what you feel like doing. No, you got to get up and do the warfare. It's detrimental to your spiritual health to just sit there and just let it be, and just because you don't care and you're not going to do anything about it. No, that's not going to work in this kingdom. It's not going to work. And unfortunately, if you don't soon get your act together, you're going to find out exactly how the Lord really does feel about it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when you feel insecure, the Lord's given us Psalm 31, verse 24. Psalm 31, verse 24. Be of good courage. Be courageous. Good courage. And he will strengthen your heart. You see, your heart needs to be strengthened. You need to have more trust in the Lord, that he will work everything out together for your good. You need to trust the Lord more, and you need your heart strengthened so that you can do that. You need to have your hope in the Lord. See, that's the problem right there. Everybody's hope is not in the Lord. Some people's hope is someplace else. You'll ask them, well, is your hope and faith, are you looking only to God to change this situation? No. They'll tell you that that's the truth, but it's not in reality. They've got their hope misplaced someplace else. They want to have God and instead of God alone. It's another problem. But you, saint, you and you alone must put away your childishness. You have to put that away. The Bible says, when I became a man or an adult or accountable, I put away. You must put away childishness. And unfortunately, there are many so-called adults who have never done that. And they expect everyone else to just accept their childishness and go on as if nothing's happening. Well, that's not the way it works. The childishness has to go. There are persons who have destroyed a perfectly good marriage relationship with their childishness. They've ruined what God brought together. Why? Because they want to hold on to their childish attitudes instead of putting them away and walking in maturity and growth. They don't want to change. They just want to stay the same. Seriously? We call that retardation.
Amen.
Saints, feelings come and feelings go. But feelings are not faith. You must learn to trust God and to trust others. That's right. It's a learning process. And you can't get it done by staying in the same spot that you're in. Those who are tempted with jealousy and envy should cease, stop, desist in comparing themselves with others and their circumstances of life. This will get you in trouble with God. This is not wise. This is foolishness. You cannot sit there and compare yourself with somebody else. That's not wisdom. In fact, it's foolishness. And God takes no pleasure in a fool. For your comparisons are evil and not wise at all. You want to have what somebody else has, but you lack what it takes to do that. I wonder why. Well, maybe that wasn't set out for you anyway. Maybe God has a path for you if you ever seek him to find out what it is. Praise the Lord. Everybody cannot be a pinky finger. Somebody has got to be a thumb. Everybody cannot be an ear. Somebody has got to be an eye. You see, saints, God is the judge. God makes vessels or people for his purposes and his glory. God makes people for his purposes and his glory. Are you in the place of God to judge God's motives? Are you? Can wicked opinions judge a holy God? In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the Lord reminds us of something important. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So you see, we need to take our hearts before the Lord and ask him to judge our hearts so he can help us get it together. We need his help. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. Of the heart proceed evil thoughts. We don't have to go any further. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. So now, you know where it comes from. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Are you going to do? In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 4, it says, I considered all travail and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. Here you have somebody that's worked hard to get to whatever achievement or accomplishment or success that they have finally attained to. And they didn't go about it being underhanded. For this thing, these achievements, these successes, a man is envied of his neighbor. Now, granted, his neighbor hadn't done all this work and stress and whatnot, but he's going to sit there and envy his other neighbor. Well, this is fruitless and useless, and it's an annoying. It's a vexation of the spirit. It's an irritant in life. Here you've worked hard all these years, and you finally achieve the goal you were going for. And so now that you have rightly achieved something, you've passed all these tests, you've gotten all these certifications, you've done all of this, then somebody decides they want to be envious of you. Yes, it's a serious annoyance. It's the truth. It is there. You see, some people walk around wanting to receive recognition. And if somebody else has the recognition that they think they want, they have a problem with it. You see, that's some of the corruption that's in the world. But unfortunately, Christians bring that corruption into the body of Christ. Amen. It's real. It is real. It's not nice. It's not holy, but it's real. So in Romans chapter 9, beginning with verse 20, Romans chapter 9, beginning with verse 20, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Can't God make people what he wants to make them without checking in with you first? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Well, that's up to God to deal with that, don't you think? God can make you one way and somebody else another way. It's at his discretion. He's the creator. Where is the world that you created? That's a good question. Saints, who are we to criticize God? Who are we to do that? Guess who do we think we are? Doesn't God have the perfect right to make a vessel as he sees fit? Can't he do that? Isn't it his prerogative? So, where can you substantiate your jealousy? What footing does your jealousy and envy have? It's up to God to decide what to make a person, how to make them, how to fashion them. It's up to him to determine what their personality is like. That's not for your opinion. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Aren't you actually walking in wickedness? And as far as your murmurings and complaining, it reveals your unthankfulness and lack of true understanding of who God is and your lack of reverence for the Lord and the work of his kingdom. That's the case. When tempted to become jealous, we should consider 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Okay, so you're tempted to be jealous or envious, murmur or complain, not share, hoard to yourself. Well, this temptation's come along to plague mankind from the beginning. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, which means there's something you can do about it. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Well, what is this way of escape? It's obeying the scriptures. It's obeying the word of God. That's the way of escape. It's called obedience to the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Timothy 4, verse 18. You tempted to become jealous? Well, here's a word from the Lord for you. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me until his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. That one you can tape to the bathroom mirror. Put yourself in remembrance of the word of God. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not, if we don't give up, give in, and quit. Amen? Amen. When we're tempted, we ask God to lead us to the rock that's higher than us. And he'll come to our rescue. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. The Lord says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Chapter 44, verse 23. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forests, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrateth of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backward and maketh their knowledge foolish. You see, he's God. He's God, not us. It's him. He formed us from the womb. He determined what one person should be and what the other person should be. Isaiah 45, flip the page. Isaiah 45, verse 12. The Lord says, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives. Not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Seems to me God's directing this person. So should your jealousy, envy, insecurity, murmuring and complaining get in the way of God's work? Should it? I suppose you can answer that. The jealous and envious should pray for an infilling of God's love and seek to become more like Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. It doesn't operate in envy. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. That's good food. Take a bite. First Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. First Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice. Yeah, malice. You know, those bad feelings. That's right. Get rid of them. That's what God says. Get rid of it. You can't hold that in your heart and be pleasing to him. You can't. It's a desire to harm another or to do mischief, spite. You want to do somebody wrong. That's wrong. You got to kick that out. And all guile, that's deceit. You know, you have a front, and then the truth is standing behind it, and the truth is ugly. And hypocrisy, you're faking it. And envy, and all evil speaking. He said, lay all of that aside. Lay it down at the foot of the cross, and don't pick it up again. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. That's right. You see, Joseph's brothers in Genesis 37 were jealous of him to the point that they plotted to kill him. Some murder others by using their evil tongues instead. They hated him and could not speak to him in peace. What a family. Who needs that? What a family. But you know, that's a part of some families today. Amen? What a family. Genesis 37. You can just listen. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. Their sheaves bowed down to his sheaf. And his brethren said, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made obeisance to me. And his brethren envied him. But his father observed the same. As it turned out in the end, this was a very prophetic dream. because it was fulfilled within their lives and Joseph's life. They were envious of the destiny that God had chosen for Joseph. And saints, that's sin.
That is sin.
When people are jealous of you, that have they have difficulty being in your presence. Yes, they do. They have difficulty being in your presence because their deeds are evil. They would rather throw darts from a distance than to admit and confess their sin. So, continue in the love of God through forgiveness and compassion, and pray for them. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Pray for them. They are backslidden, and they need your prayers. They are backslidden, and they need your prayers in love. Amen? Amen. So, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we choose to forgive all those persons who are offended with us through jealousy, through envy, and they're using their mouths against us. We forgive them. We forgive them as an act of our will in obedience to the Holy Scriptures. We lift them up to you, Lord, and we ask you to help them because they are entrapped by the enemy. So we ask you to have mercy and extend your grace, and to help them come out of their weakness and into strength. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, there are family saints that have jealousy and envy as a stronghold in the family line. Amen, it's so. Amen, it is so. And if you marry into one of those families, you'll soon find out that it's there. If you can, investigate it before you get into it, because it's not going to be fun. Praise God. Amen. Brother Bill, do you have some testimonies for us?
We have a bunch of them, Pastor. They are awesome testimonies, too. Let's start with KK. He has a praise report. Holy Spirit had me reach out to an old boss just to say hello and let him know that I was thinking about him. The Holy Spirit also had me to do the same things with my old boss's boss. And both people immediately replied and would like to get together in person. Because I no longer work for them, I'll be able to share my faith more openly. Praise you for that, Lord Jesus. The saints are getting bolder. Praise you, Lord. And KK has another praise report. I was a competitive swimmer when I was younger, and I allowed the enemy to steal from me what the Lord had gave me and blessed me with. I got back into the sport over the summer, and on Friday ended practice during the sprint. I had time that I hadn't done the same since high school. I just thank the Lord for giving me back my strength and stamina and endurance. We just praise you for that, Lord, that you're restoring him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Gina says, praise you, Father. Thank you, MIC. Just praise you. Lord, after 10 years, my daughter is drug-free and finishing her BA degree. Praise you for that, Lord Jesus. And Gladys has a praise. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Yes. Praise you, Lord Jesus. praise you. And Gladys has a praise report. One of my printers came by my apartment to drop off some proofs, and I got to share what God had been doing, and she has been listening intently. I told her about how the Lord brought me to MIC and how the wonderful things he's been doing. I gave her the website information and times of the service and told her about Ephesians and how God has given us power of attorney. She was so happy to learn all that, and we'll be going to our website more. I praise you, Lord. We just praise you for that. And the Lord's giving everyone boldness. Praise you, Lord. Let them speak. It's just awesome, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord, for that. Dina, a man, oh, I love this one. A man told the lady behind the counter that he was full Native American, not the deluded kind at the casinos. And the lady standing in front of me said, well, I must be one of those deluded ones because I have some Native American blood in her. And it just came right out of my mouth. I said, we are one blood in Jesus Christ. Praise you, Lord, for the boldness. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for making all the saints bold. Praise you for that, Lord. And in case as praise this morning, a man rear-ended my husband's vehicle. At first, the man drove away. Then 911 didn't answer, and KK called them, and the police came 30 minutes later, finally arrived. And KK was in the parking lot that was jam-packed with agitated people. He maintained his peace and loving and rational. When he got home hours later during it, he thanked the Lord for the accident. Hallelujah for the renewed hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Saints, every time you get in the cars, you got to bind the accident spirit. But praise you, Lord. He did not get harmed, and he came through it with peace. Didn't matter what was going on, we just praise you for that, Lord Jesus. And Dana has a praise report. Praise God for his mercy, his kindness. I had the privilege to visit with Miracle Church in Jacksonville this weekend. The worship, the service, the deliverance, everything was phenomenal. I bless God for deliverance. Fear tried to show up early this morning, but God encouraged me and got me tougher. God is so good. I thank him for his divine intervention. I was so excited to meet our spirit-filled leaders, Dr. Sabrina and Assistant Pastor Bill. The entire experience was simply amazing, and I hope that all of MIC will get the opportunity to visit. Praise God. Hallelujah. And when I got home, my cat was missing. I was concerned because she was home alone and there was evidence that some other animal had been around the house. I felt very concerned because she hadn't come when I called and began to get upset. Then I heard the stanza, God is not a man that he should lie, from the worship song, No Weapon. And about 15 minutes later, she appeared in the yard. Praise God. Praise you, Lord. See, Dana's learning. She is growing. Praise you for that, Lord Jesus. And she goes on, while chatting with Brother Bill on Sunday, he warned me about the magic touch and transference of spirits after my deliverance. I was thinking about that and said that. And on the way back home, on the trip on the bus, I asked the Heavenly Father to please not let anyone sit next to me. Although the bus was almost filled to capacity, I was able to sit alone all the way back. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise you, Lord. And I requested some insurance info back in August when my dad passed, and the company kept telling me that it was in the mail, but I never received it. On Monday, December 14th, the day after I attended services in Jacksonville, the letter postmarked August 30th arrived in the mail. I thank God for deliverance from the hindering spirit in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord, for these testimonies from Dana. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Awesome, Lord Jesus. You are so awesome. And Tim has a praise report about I brought my car in for an alignment today, and they did not try to sell me parts I didn't need. They just did the alignment like I asked for a very good price. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. See what happens when you pray first, saints? And saints, always put your prayer requests in that prayer room, and Jesus will be there to help you. and the saints will come in agreement. And every time two of us agree, he does it. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. And Amy Miller has a praise report. It's been since September 2021 when the Lord delivered me from daily intake of heavy core sugar items like cookies and pies and cake and candy and donuts and ice cream. It was out of control, but God delivered me, and I thank him so much for his mercy. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your strength to continue to walk in this deliverance. All glory and honor and praise go to you, God, for this victory. Amen. Praise you, Lord. That's an awesome report. Praise you, Lord.
Now,
and Dina has a
Brother Bill.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Didn't I ask Sunday who's been in the ice cream?
You sure did. You sure did. Yes, and some of the saints were admitting to it. Oh, well, they need to do this too. Ask them. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Dina. Oh, I'm tickled.
I know you're tickled. Who's been in the ice cream? Pastor's asking everybody, who's been in the ice cream? And yes, just fess up and tell the truth. Okay, I've been in the ice cream, Pastor. All right, we'll all keep praying.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. That's so cute. Dina has another praise report. Praise the Lord. In my dream last night, a demon offered me a huge chocolate chip cookie, and I said no. There was a table with all this food on it, and after I refused the cookie, all that food disappeared. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. Praise you, Lord. And she had put a prayer request in the prayer room for C on Sunday at the doctor's appointment, and all went well. There were no blockages in C's heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord, for that. Praise you, praise you. See, saints, what happens when you put your prayer request in the prayer room? Praise you for that, Lord. And Robert, he says, praise God. A couple weeks ago, someone put in a prayer request for rain in California. God blessed us with rain. Praise you, Lord, for that. We praise you, Lord. And Cyril Doria said, M did call me yesterday, surprisingly, for a matter, and today I called her and asked her if she could join us back here at MIC. She was open, and praise you, Lord, that you are giving her deliverance, and you've been showing me this, and you're going to help her get free. Praise you for that, Lord. And I had actually placed a prayer for her, for the two M's and the other M, and somehow God is, he's just wonderful, and he hears us, and his timing's perfect. I just love you and praise you, Lord Jesus, for that. Praise you, Lord. And Simon's M has a praise report. Glory be to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. A 7-month prayer for my immigration path blockage has been answered. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, all prayer warriors who prayed along with me for God's protection. He is the true way maker. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. You gave him an awesome breakthrough. Praise you. And RT says, thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer. Computer systems are up and running. Posted a prayer 5 minutes ago. Wow, that's great, Lord. That's just awesome. 5 minutes, and the computer's already fixed. And Dina has another praise report. Praise God for this fast and all the corporate fasts. They give me more energy, and I think clearer, and I'm able to retain the scriptures better and retain Dr. Pat's books and the MIC sermons better as well. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. And NK has a praise report. Thanks be to the grace of God and MIC agreement, a very important dynamic shift occurred today. While KK and AK were at odds, I remained on the outskirts, peaceful in Jesus, only mentioning his truth to each one of them separately as God led me. I waited on him, was of good courage. He strengthened my heart. KK and PK beautifully resolved their differences. We are all stronger for it. This is perfect because we have three very special events this week, which is uncommon, of course, for us. And, of course, the devil wanted to ruin them with the infighting. No way, devil. He who trusts in God will not be ashamed. We just praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And NK says, praise God, he enabled me to make tasty, nutritious soups from things we had already had at home. His blessing and his, he gave me some very wonderful ideas for cooking and ingenuity in the kitchen. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Trish has a praise report. I submitted an exemption for accommodation for the jab. I haven't heard anything about it, but last week I noticed in the reports that one or six had been approved. The Holy Spirit kept telling me it was my exemption. Today I have to look at my back record, and it shows an temporary exemption. I still don't know what that means, but I give God the glory. Praise you, Lord, how he's protecting me. I just give you praise and glory. Now, saints, I have a warning here. I have this testimony from NK about being a racehorse. We warn you about this, and listen what happened to her because of what she did in the past. So here's what she wrote. Leadership repeats again and again that we must stay in our own lanes. Like some of you, until MIC, I didn't know God's guidelines for myself. As a Christian, disciple, wife, mother, sister, teacher, neighbor, etc., the point of writing this is to collaborate what the leadership has been saying. Veering out of your lane can cost you dearly. About 10 years ago, we moved to a city where prior to that, to meeting Jesus and each other, KK and I had both made covenants with Satan by sinning. While living there as a young family, we were linked to many counseling and deliverance ministries, attended a church imitating a big-name Kundalini church. We had exposures to so much error through daily, continuous streaming of Sid Roth shows. We used New Age healthcare practitioners and methods, had little sense of discernment where the boundaries for outside relationships, and used all four versions of the Illuminati Bibles. We were a hot mess, and no one we sought could help. We were wide open for trouble. KK received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with tongues at our church, but I didn't. I kept pursuing it, and soon after, my spirit language was finally released, and something mysteriously happened. My health had always been under attack, so unfortunately, it wasn't odd for me to be in bed. From my place, propped up in the bed, I called out to KK just in time for him to see me shrinking in terror from the window which I was staring at. And a moment later, a grand mal seizure with no history as such. I was pregnant with our son at the time. Over the next months, 4 to 5 seizures followed, and my son was delivered, stillborn, into my hands. He was 5 months old. The umbilical cord was wrapped around his neck as a noose. His belly was black from malnourishment. The placenta was petrified. His legs were crossed as a yoga. He actually came through the birth canal in the lotus position. Even in my spiritual chaos, I knew this was a message from something unseen, a dark presence. The seizures stopped. God marked them, the end of them, by showing KK a bolt of lightning come in our bedroom. After all this, KK was shaken, and I was ashamed. Years later, after God miraculously moved us to Florida and connected us to MIC, a major piece of the story was revealed. As miseducated, zealous, prideful, charismatic Christians with psychic leaders, which I mistook for the Holy Spirit, I stepped way out of my lane. In that city where we had lived, AK and I would go around town talking to anybody and everybody, praying for them, laying hands on them, giving words. I would spontaneously start praying against what I know now are major principalities and powers like Masonic headquarters, outposts, fake and cult churches. I thought I was being bold for Jesus. Nope, I was boldly marching down the path of destruction, and the enemy camp cheering me all the way. Saints, it's good to walk humbly with our God, following Jesus in the paths of righteousness he prepared to lead us in. I shared this because Brother Bill thought it could possibly help people who hear. Stay in your lane. Take this seriously. It is sad that the babies had to suffer inside of me. I'm so sorry that KK lost potential siblings, but God has used experiences for good. Now, saints, you hear what she did. She got way ahead of God. She became a racehorse. They were out there, and it's only the grace of God that kept her alive. You can't do this. And in the name of Jesus, I forbid any foul to steal this from the people. I forbid any devil to steal this word tonight. They need to hear this. Lord, let them hear this. And in the name of Jesus, we just give praise, glory, and honor, Lord Jesus, that you'll let us all understand this. And we praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And when I first got here and Pastor Pat took me through deliverance and I was zealous for God, I would go out at work and pray for 10 or more people and they'd get miracles. And I came to church one Sunday and Pastor Pat said, Bill, what sin are you in? You're 7 times worse. I said, I'm not in any sin, Pastor. She said, I'm going to seek the Lord. And when we came back to church the next service, she said, Bill, you're out there laying hands on people. All those spirits are transferring to you, and you keep getting 7 times worse. Just stop that. Saints, don't do this. We warn you because we've been there. We've done that. You don't want to end up like Charles Finney. You don't want to end up, because Charles Finney had an intercessor named Daniel Nash. And Daniel Nash, when he got ahead of God, he would put his hands on the map and pray for and tear down principalities by himself. The devil took his life at age 50. He's in his 50s when he lost his life. But he used to pray and see whole towns get saved. You can't do this. It's too dangerous. And I just had to end this with that. And now back to you, Pastor Sabrina.
Amen, amen, amen. Now, saints, this is a warning. Some of you are what you call hard-headed. You want to do it your way anyway. And you've picked up demons by calling yourself ministering to others. And what you've actually done is collected demons as you went along the way. That's right. You've collected other people's demons as you've gone along the way. You had enough of your own to begin with. But now you jumped out ahead of God, out of your lane, thinking, I can do this. No. The Bible says to wait on your ministry if there's one for you to have. And so now you're loaded up with demons from almost everywhere. And you want to know, well, what's wrong? Well, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Consider the things you've done. Here, you're just, you know, there was a time you were just getting delivered, and then you decide you're going to go out to some church, and you're going to preach your testimony, and you're going to this, and you're going to that. And they didn't know any better but to let you do that. Well, the devil took note, and now you've got some demons that you're going to have a time getting rid of. It's dangerous. It's very dangerous. Some of you have situations that are quite serious spiritually. You can't afford to go sashaying out into the world and thinking you can just say anything you want, do anything you want whenever you get ready. It doesn't work like that. And then when the manifestations come, then you're shocked. So we attempt to bring you into correction. We attempt to warn you. We attempt to advise you. But you see, you have to be the one to choose to receive the counsel, the warning, the correction. You have to make that choice. We can't do that for you. So Pastor will say it once again. I want to thank NK for sharing intimate details of her life and her own personal testimony so that you might learn and not be so, oh, well, you know. No, it's serious. This is a serious matter. This is a serious ministry. This isn't like other ministries. Amen? We want you to do well, and we're going to tell you what it takes to do well, but you have to choose to do it. See, you can't sit there with idols in your heart. You can't be your own idol, and nobody else can be your idol either. That's a huge open door for the enemy to take advantage of you and defeat you every time you attempt to do something. You've got to decide to make the change. We'll stand with you. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. But you have to decide to make the change. Amen? Amen. And that's the truth of the matter. That's the truth of the matter. So, let's see now. It's important that we pay attention. Amen. It's important. It's important that we learn to humble ourselves and receive what God has to say. It's important. It's important not to be stubborn and hard-headed and spiteful and proud. It's important. Amen? It could mean your life or someone else's. So, God is good. For his goodness. So tonight, we're going to pray, and Brother Marshall's going to lead us, and we're going to request some more adjudication. We're requesting adjudications from the righteous judge concerning the handling of the border crisis by the Biden administration. We're also requesting adjudications on every person, agency, on every person, agency. Where did I lose that? Okay. All right. Part of it suddenly disappeared. Okay, anyway, Lord, you know what I wrote. Amen. On every person and agency, and there was a couple other words I said in there, Lord, that suddenly disappeared. It seems that Mr. George Soros has bankrolled movements that sought to undermine the American way of life. Mr. Soros had a hand in the damaging defund the police movement, and thanks to tax records, we now have solid proof of the billionaire worker to undermine the U.S. justice system. Those records show that Soros has funneled funds through a dark money hub under the guise of a nonprofit, and it's called Community Resource Hub for Safety Accountability. They received $3 million from Soros' nonprofit foundation to promote open society that helped fund the defund the police movement. So Soros's funding of that organization is another instance showing how his cash fund efforts helped to reshape the justice system. For years, Soros has showered district attorney races with money, oftentimes backing the most progressive candidate. We are requesting adjudications from the righteous judge on every political, social, government, and economic venture supported by George Soros and his use of funds, personal and otherwise. Amen? Amen. That's what we're doing because we need God to move. We need the Lord to move. We need the Lord to move in this matter. Amen. We need him to move. You know, sometimes we forget about some of the things that we've prayed, and God has already answered some of those requests. But we can't stop with those. We have to keep moving forward. Amen? And we need to remember that the Lord is listening. We're not just reading to ourselves. He's actually listening. And he's hearing what we're putting before him. And he intends to do something about it. And I've been posting some of our stories in the MIC chat. And you're encouraged to go up every day and see if I've posted yet another. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Also, prayers and intercession for the citizens of the several states. Kentucky was the most prominent, which became the victims of severe tornadoes last week. The genesis or beginning of the tornado outbreak was a series of overnight thunderstorms, including a supercell storm that formed in northeast Arkansas. That storm moved from Arkansas and Missouri into Tennessee and Kentucky. In Illinois, six Amazon.com Inc. workers were confirmed dead on Saturday after a warehouse roof was ripped off, causing an 11-inch thick concrete walls longer than football fields to collapse on them. So, we have some praying to do, saints. We have some praying to do. We are requesting adjudications from the righteous judge concerning the handling of the border crisis by Mr. Biden. Also, we're requesting adjudications on every person, agency, cartel, technology, or organization that aids and supports illegals gaining access to the USA and other countries and its systems for illegal entry and illegal residence. The Biden administration was forced to reinstate the Remain in Mexico policy that President Trump had in place, court order, and they're still upset about that. But now it's coming out that Vice President Harris, who's supposed to be the border czar, was most likely sitting on her hands. The Guatemalan president, Alejandro, whose name I won't mess up, just let the cat out of the bag when he said that Harris and Biden haven't said a word to him since June. First of all, migration can't be stopped on the basis of circumstantial causes. It needs to be stopped on the basis of structural causes, he said, pointing to the drug cartels that are largely in Mexico, who also smuggle Guatemalans and other humans into the U.S. It's big business to run trafficking person schemes. It's a $4 billion business for these criminals, and therefore we need to address structural causes. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, you know every nook and cranny, every in and out, every lie that's been told, everything that's been done concerning bringing illegals into the United States and other countries, and the process by which they maintain illegal entry and illegal residence. So, Father, we appeal to the righteous judge in the name of Jesus Christ, and we ask for judgment to be released all over the world concerning this matter. It's caused much upheaval in the world, and we ask you to step in Jesus' name. We are requesting adjudications from the righteous judge concerning about 4,000 Russian nationals that were stopped at the U.S. southern border in 2021. And it tells some more about how many were and when they were and how that happened, and some were stopped. These Russian nationals came to the U.S. southern border amid a shifting balance in who is coming to the border. See, all kinds of people have been showing up to the border, not just here in the United States, but all over the world. All kinds of people from everywhere, and none of them seemingly have right papers, right procedures, following the protocol for any nation to come in. They're just coming in. They're just showing up. They're not citizens. They're not related to anybody here. They just show up. Some of them are criminals. So we're going before the Lord, asking him to do what's right concerning this matter and to release his judgments in the earth. So the Lord will handle that. And we're requesting adjudications concerning all illegal immigrants that are presently in the U.S. and their lawful deportation. We are requesting adjudications from the righteous judge concerning the life and activities of Hillary R. Clinton and her husband, former President William J. Clinton, and their cohorts, including former President Barack Obama and their administrations. We're requesting that Luke 8:17, Mark 4:22, Job 28:11, Matthew 10:26, Daniel 2:24 be fully implemented. And Lord, we thank you for it. Amen. So that's what we're praying about tonight. Amen. You know, these are very, very serious prayer requests, saints. So we ask that you put your armor on, that you come before the Lord, and that you stay in agreement with us as we pray in Jesus' name. Brother Marshall, are you ready?
Father, we continue praying in the Spirit, and we thank you for not leaving us as orphans. Thank you for the Spirit of adoption. Father, we know, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. I can't drool apart from you, Jesus. I'm not even dust apart from you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for speaking us all into being. We thank you, Lord, you have good plans for all of us, plans for our peace and not for evil, to give us an expected end. Just like that red rope that came out of Rahab the harlot's window in the book of, Joshua. We thank you, Lord, she kept her eye on that red rope. We keep our eye on you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for keeping us as the apple of your eye, Father God. And we thank you, Father, for being in the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for the good plans you have for all of us. We give you praise and honor, and Father God, we thank you for your mercy. I'm in agreement with the intent and of the prayer request and adjudications, Father God, as Pastor Sabrina has gone through them, Father God, and we know you often answer even before we ask. Father, we thank you for putting these prayer requests on Sabrina's heart and all the saints, Father God, not just associated with Miracle in that church, Father, but all the saints globally, all those, Father God, that have been homogenized by the Soros group and all the rest of them. And in Jesus' name, we speak blindness to the enemy, muteness to the enemy, and they only hear what Jesus wants them to hear pertaining to each and every one of us and all the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, through the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who's purchased us with his own blood, the blood of the only true living Creator God in Jesus. And we plead the blood of Jesus over each and every one of us, every access to each and every one of us, every door, every window, every one of our eyes, ears, hearts, minds, even our hypothalamuses in Jesus. And we speak the blood of Jesus over each and every one of us. For if we die with him, we shall also live with him. And we know in Jesus, and we overcome the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. And it says, if we die with him, we all shall also live. And so we reckon ourselves dead to ungodly fear, dead to pride and presumption. Father, we thank you for purchasing us, redeeming us with the blood of your only begotten Son, that sinless blood, the innocent blood. Even as Judas Iscariot said, he betrayed the innocent blood. That's the only innocent blood there's ever been. And we thank for that innocent blood over each one of us, and that makes us our sins just as if we never had them. Even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And that's the life of the living God who's all over us and in us. And we thank you, Father, for keeping us by the power of your name. We thank you for sending Jesus in your name. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He blessed you out of the house of the Lord. We're your house, Lord. We can't do it apart from your Holy Ghost, Father, but we continue to rejoice in the Lord always, because you, could you said, if we're your house, Lord, we're always rejoicing in you. We thank you for never leaving us nor forsaking us. We thank you together with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Jesus is our God, our Emmanuel, the Word of God, come in the flesh to come and live through us. We speak blindness to the eyes of the enemy, muteness to the mouth of the enemy, and they may only hear what Jesus wants them to hear. And every witchcraft curse sent against any one of us and every one of us, all the members of the body of Christ, not just those associated with miracles in that church who returned, at least some boldness of the Spirit to send them. Do the Spirit intend to do to us in Jesus' name, according to not only Psalm 79:12, Proverbs 6:30-31. In Jesus' name, we thank you for uncovering what's really going on, Lord. In Jesus' name, continually uncovering what's going on, Father. In Jesus' name, even as you pointed out, not only not just what's going on with George Soros, all that's going on, Father God, even as you point out in Luke 8:17, Jesus says, for there's nothing secret that shall not be made manifest, and neither hid that shall not be known and come abroad. And you said, we don't have to worry about it. You said in Matthew 10:26, fear them not, therefore, for there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. So we thank you for bringing all these things to light, Father God. Even in Daniel, I think Sabrina might have meant to, it's a nice scripture in verse 24, but verse 47 says, Daniel 2:47, the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets. Seems I could reveal this secret. And we thank you, Father God, make all of our prayers, not just Sabrina's, not just Bill's, not just mine, all of our prayers effectual and fervent, Father God. Why? Because of who lives in us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So help us to walk humbly with our God, because we know, Jesus, apart from you, we can't do squat. We can't do anything. But we, Father, we thank you for what you've done through Pastor Sabrina and Pastor, Assistant Pastor Bill and Pat Holiday, Father God, and all your saints, Father God. We thank you for the saints that have gone before. We thank you, Father God, for hearing their prayers. Because why? Because Jesus is interceding for each of us. That's that blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And that's how we come, Father. We come boldly and joyfully before your throne of grace, like it says in Hebrews 4:16. And like it says, not because of it's not our righteousness. No. There's only one who's righteous, and that's God. And he shares his righteousness as we become part of the bride of Christ. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word is unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I'm called by thy name. And it says in Jeremiah 33:16, she, the bride of Christ, is called by thy name, Yahweh Tsikeno, the Lord our righteousness. We thank you for rendering unto man your righteousness. Like it says in Job chapter 33, I forget exactly which verse it is, and it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Why? Because we put on the robe of righteousness when we have that blood of Jesus, not just on our lips, but in our hearts. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Help us all to hide your word in our heart the way you want, Lord. Help me to be changed from glory to glory. That where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We thank you for that liberty that comes from drinking into one spirit with you, Lord. And your eyes are red with wine. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. For by grace are we all saved through faith, not of ourselves. No, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we look to you, Lord, because we can't do it, but you've already done it. You've already won the victory. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifesting, but destroy the works of the devil. And Jesus said, Father, I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. It is finished. Thank you for your completed work, Lord Jesus. So we look to you, Lord. We look to you, Lord. Like it says in 2 Chronicles 20:12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? All these people that are doing the nasty things at the border, not just in this nation, all the nations that are trying to flood people across the border, because that's George Soros's with the demons in him. Father, if you can save, I don't know if you can save that person, but those that you can save that are working for him, Father God, maybe some of those attorney generals that have been bought, Father God, we ask you to wake them up. They don't need, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Send the Holy Ghost to bring conviction, Father God, to all those that he's been trying to bribe and control to do what the demons in him want them to do, Father God. Wake them up. What will a man give in exchange for his soul, Father God, in Jesus' name? That they'll turn to the Lord Jesus, because his love really is better than anything else. Better than bribes, better than money, better than silver, better than gold, better than rubies, better than wine. For the people that have to get their next, you know, fifth of whiskey or whatever, his love is better than that. His love is better than anything else. It's better than attaboys from the people of this world, because we're all looking for well done, good and faithful servant. Because one day all of us are going to leave our earthly bodies. To be present with the Lord is better than anything. And we want to be in your presence, because that's where fullness of joy is. We want to please you, Lord, because that's why we were created, to please you, Lord. So help us to do it the way you want, Lord. Help us to pray the way you want. Whatever language you want us to pray in, Lord, in Jesus' name, whether it's Spanish or French or German or whatever language, Father God, whatever they speak in the Aboriginal language, and help those people, Father God, that are being forced to be jabbed, the children, all deliver all the children, Father God, all over the globe, deliver all the children. We don't know what to do, Lord, but you do. Says, O our God, wilt thou not, in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them, all those demons and the people in those demons? Because we know you love the people, Lord, but you hate the demons. For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. We look like just a handful of people. Well, you used 300 people. Who was it, with Gideon against the Midianites? And you did a really pretty amazing job there. Yes, you did. And you used, I think it was 318 trained men with Father Abraham when he went to go get Lot back, Father God. So there weren't that many people, but they're more with us than with them. We think of the warring, linking angels watching over each of us, protecting all of us, not just Sister Marla and her children, all of us, each and every member of the body of Christ. Thank you for warring, linking angels round about each of us, continually, instantly, immediately. We thank you for the angel, Lord, that the camp is round about them, that fears you, Lord, and delivers them, including those children, Father God, that have been terrorized by the tornadoes. And that, Father, as we bind that spirit of terror and ungodly fear, and all the spirits trying to cause people, the spirit of mass hypnotism, Satan, we bind you, every one of your underneath every one of your plans, every one of your schemes, seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. We bind every one of your demons, Satan, every single one of your mind control spirits, every one of the spirits coming from computer games and everything else. We cancel every spirit from the subliminals, from the TV programming, and the movies. We bind every one of your programming and all the agendas in the school districts to teach children, oh, you know, you can change your sex and all the rest of it. We bind every one of the spirits of confusion, because God is not the author of confusion, but we do speak confusion, division in the enemy's camp, confusion, division in the enemy's camp, confusion, division to the enemy's camp, confusion, division to the enemy's camp in Jesus' name. Because, Father God, you're able to do that. You're able to turn the people that were coming against those people in 2 Chronicles, where Jehoshaphat, he prayed and fasted. He didn't know what to do, but he had to get really right with you in a big hurry, Lord, because he knew there were a lot of people coming against them. But you said, the battle's not yours, the battle's God's. The battle's not ours, it's God's. It's your battle, Lord. But you gave us this gorgeous hunk of dust, and you gave us these mouths and the hearts to speak with, the hearts to speak your word, Father God, in Jesus' name. We thank you for that sword of the Spirit that cuts off the head of the enemy, Father God. Leviathan, we cut off your head and descale you, every spirit of pride and presumption, every spirit of covetousness, every spirit of envy, jealousy, all the ungodly spirits that cause people to do things, love of this present world, lust of flesh, lust of God, pride of life, Satan, you're bound. Every single one of your underlings are bound in Jesus' name because of the blood of the covenant, by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Because Jesus says in Mark 3:27, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. And Jesus says over in Matthew 16, but whom say ye that I am? Sorry, verse 15, and Simon Peter answers that thou art the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon of Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the B&M gates, all the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. and they were given to thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Satan, you and all your underlings are perpetually, continually bound. And we're all in agreement according to Matthew 18:18 to verse 20, in Matthew 18:18, 19, and 20, in Jesus' name. And that's the name above all names. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all power in heaven and in earth. And that name's been around a while. That's the name of the true creator God who created heaven and earth. And Asa knew about that name because he said in 2 Chronicles 14:11, help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. Thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. No man prevail against thee. Not Soros, none of the people behind the deep state nonsense of what's going on, the tyranny, global tyranny, so-called medical mandates, really just idolatry. That's all it is. It's just the worship of a false god. We bind every spirit of idolatry, and we cancel their assignments. Every spirit of looking to man instead of looking to the creator God. Every spirit of idolatry. Well, my doctor said, well, this person on CNN said, God say, by your stripes we already were healed. It's already done. Jesus paid the price. In your patience, possess you your souls. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for giving your saints supernatural grace and patience, even as you did for KK in a less than ideal situation. He was able to hold his peace and go forward, just like you told the children of Israel when they came up to the Red Sea and Pharaoh was charging up behind them. There was a mountain on either side, and there was a huge body of water in front of them. And they said, oh, what are we going to do? And the Lord said unto Moses in Exodus 14:14, in your patience, does he say, hold your peace. In the next verse, go forward. Help us to hear what you want us to do, Lord Jesus. We thank you that your sheep hear your voice, and help us all to go forward, going where you want, doing what you want. So, Father, we ask for your divine intervention, adjudication of the righteous judge concerning what's being done by these people. You told us to pray for those who despitefully use us. Now, Father, we weren't born righteous, not one of us. We only receive the gift of righteousness when we've repented of our sins and believe in your blood covenant. And we thank you for that gift, Father, and we do repent and renounce all generational iniquity, spirits, and personal sins, including idolatry and selfishness and rebellion and all these spirits of looking to man and spirits of fear of man and all the rest of it. We do want to have a holy, holy, holy fear of you, Lord. That's great safety there. There's great wisdom there when we fear you, Lord, because you're the one who can say who goes to heaven, who goes to hell. And yes, we got a say in that. We get to agree with you and do it the way you want, Lord. So, Father, we ask you to save those that can be saved. You told us to pray for those who despitefully use us, those attorney generals that are not doing what's supposed to be done under the U.S. Constitution. We ask you to move on their hearts to do what they should, Father God, to expose the global tyranny that's being propagated by not just Soros, but others associated with the deep state, Father God, and all this nonsense, Father God, of the Great Reset. We ask you to expose more of what's going on. We thank what you already have exposed. We ask you to have mercy, Father God, on all those affected by this tornado outbreak in the middle of the country, Father God, in the United States, Father, in Jesus' name. We ask you, Father God, for your divine help in adjudication, Father God, that you'll send, move on people's hearts to help in the way you want, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, whatever you want each of us to do, show what you want each of us to, how you want us to pray. If there's some group, help us not to be foolish, Lord. Help us to only give what you want, where you want, when you want. Help us to hear and do what you want. And if some of us are physically present in those areas that we can actually help, help us to know how we can help, Father. And Father God, send the Holy Ghost to comfort. Send mourn with those who mourn. Help the Holy Ghost, Father God, to send a comforter, to comfort those, the widows, the children, the orphans, those that have been afflicted by this outbreak, Father God, in Jesus' name. We bind every spirit behind the use of machinery being used by demons to control the weather and the atmosphere contrary to Father God's perfect plan. We cancel their further assignments to steal, kill, and destroy. Father, we ask you to send your beating angels, whatever appropriate angels, Father God, to break the machines that they're being used, whether it's harp or any other things, to control the weather and the atmosphere and stirring up strong storms, Father God, that are not your will, Father God. Because you said whenever we see a cloud in the sky. If you send it, we're going to see a rainbow, Father God. We ask you, Father, so that means that Jesus, when he rebuked the storm, he didn't say, oops, Father God, I didn't mean to do that against what you sent. No, the so-called acts of God, there's a little God, that's Satan, and he does nasty things, and he does have supernatural power. So, Father God, we ask you to overturn Satan's plans to control the weather and the atmosphere and other things concerning this planet, Father God, in Jesus' name. We thank you for putting us up on that solid rock, Father God, when everything else seems to be shaking and rattling and changing, Father God. Help us to be hidden in the secret place of the Most High. We claim all the benefits of Psalm 91 for all the saints, Father God, in every area, Father God, in every nation, every area, continuing. We thank you for divine protection from every area, Father God, from spirits of planets, spirits of the demons planning to cause false flags, cyber attacks, and every other attack, Father God, in Jesus' name. And we bind every spirit of Zeus, we bind every spirit seeking to kill, steal, and or destroy in every area in Jesus' name. From our position seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, we command there be no further flow of power or communication from the demons in the second heavens, the bush and the deep, to all those spirits trying to kill, steal, and destroy in Jesus' name. And we ask for your divine help and interjection, Father God, that you send your beating angels, Father God, and you send the Holy Ghost, Father God, to help all those and pour forth of your spirit, Father God. And we thank you, Father, for doing so. Sending the Holy Ghost to bring conviction to those that need to be convicted, Father God, that can repent, because I don't know who they are, but you know their hearts, Father God. And some of them are people connected and related to those associated with this ministry. Those that were one of the sisters that her mom might have snuck out to get a third jab, a booster shot. Father God, and I've had some family members that have done something similar. So, Father God, we pray for all those, Father God, and those that did not get their exemptions, Father God, and not a full exemption, Father God, and those that are working in areas where they might be forced to try and think they have to do a compromise. Father God, we ask you to help the saints to hold firm that Jesus has got good plans for them, and we don't need to bow our knees to worship false gods. We don't have to worship kind of any 666 injection spirit or anything else, Father God. And we ask you for our family members that have been mind-blinded by this mass hypnotism spirit, Father God, that you open their eyes, Father God. Wake up the sleeping giant, but give them eyes to see, ears to hear, a new and understanding hearts, and deliver them, Father, in Jesus' name. Satan, all your plans on the mass hypnotism spirits are continually bound in Jesus' name. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven in Jesus' name. Including all those who think they're like Camilla, who thinks they can sit on their hands while the nonsense is being going on, Father God, in Jesus' name. We ask you, and we thank you for bringing to light what's already going on at the southern border, Father God, not just in this nation, but other areas, Father God. We ask for your divine intervention, adjudication, all these areas, including the activities of the former presidents of this nation, Father God, that are involved with not very nice things, Father God. We ask you to, if you can save any of their souls or those that work with them, their family members, save their souls. But if you can't, we ask for your divine intervention and adjudication, Father God, in Jesus' name. You said, and I think this is maybe some of the scriptures that Brother Bill was so kind enough to put in there, warfare prayers, and with them, even in Psalm 2. We thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Why did nobody get that? Of course, I haven't turned that fast. Let me get there, Lord. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed. That means against the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. He shall speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. The Lord says, I have set my king, the Lord Jesus, the King of kings, I have set my king upon my holy hill. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus into the world to show us your extravagant love. Oh my, what an amazing love. God, but you said, ask me, and I should give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. As Sabrina's already prayed, and we're in again, we ask you to give us the heathen for our inheritance, Father God. If you can help us to reach people's hearts, Father God, with the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that God really loves every human being. He doesn't love the demons that are in any one of us, including the demons that are still left in me. And yeah, I'm a work in progress, too. I may be a lighter shade of gray. We thank you for all the years of deliverance, and we thank you, Lord, we're all being changed from glory to glory. Now, we don't have to live by ice cream alone, but we do thank you, giving us all a hunger to thirst for righteousness, Father God, and nourishing us with the sincere milk of the Word. And then we get to advance to the bread of life, and then we get to advance to the strong meat. We thank you for that strong meat that strengthens us, Father God. And even as, who was it? Paul eight, when it was at Paul, one of the prophets, Elijah, I guess, he had some meat, and he went for 40 days into the wilderness. We thank you for the living bread from heaven. We thank you for the supernatural strength by your Spirit, Father God, as we live by you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the living bread from heaven. Man does not live by bread alone or any other created thing alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We thank you for keeping us all supernaturally strong and healthy, Father God, even by the power of your Spirit, Father God. For it's not by mind, not by power, it's by your Spirit. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for your divine intervention, Father God, and all these people that are doing things that are not pleasing in your sight. And we ask for your divine help and intervention, Father God. And we're all in agreement. And Jesus said, if two of you on earth agree touching anything you ask, it shall be done in my Father, which is in heaven. We thank you for the many times you've heard our prayers, Father, that your mercy is really on you every morning. We give you praise and honor. And we love you, Abba. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Arms, for picking up the bodies by many, many people. Father God knows exactly when he's coming, but we do see signs that look like maybe a
power, 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 power,
Give your praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Praise the living God. Amen and amen.